Blog Talk Radio.
Martial arts training. So, without delay, how are you, Grandmaster Moose?
I'm doing just fine this morning. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
When did you start singing?
Actually, I started singing as a little boy. And church choir back in my hometown, Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay. So you sung in a choir?
Yes, I sang a little bit in a choir there, and then later on, I began to sing with. We formed a group in Baltimore, Maryland. At the time, it was called the El Capoleros, and that's when I was about 16 years of age. And then, you know, we performed with various famous groups back then. There's the Whatnots, Frankie and the Spindles, Softones, and, you know, Jimmy Briscoe, Little Beavers, groups like that. And I'm sure some people are very familiar with those R&B groups from back in the day.
Okay. So were those are some of the groups that you sang with?
I performed with them in St. Louis with Whatnots and them. So it was really, really a great time, a great era.
Oh, okay. All right. Are you working with Mr. Leon Silvers?
I sure am. And what a thrill it is. You know, he is such a gifted man and talented man. I have a duet group. It's called Jim and Gemma Duet. And, you know, Mr. Leon Silvers, we call him our musical daddy, you know, and just the man is just so phenomenal.
Yes, I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of your CD?
The name of my CD is Jim and Gemma Duet. We would like to have the title song will be Searching.
Okay, it's called Searching.
Yes.
Is this your first CD?
It'll be our first CD coming out. It's still going through final mixing as of now. So when you know Grandmaster Leon Silvers is ready to throw it out there, it's going to be a bang.
It's going to be a bang. I can believe that. So you're pretty excited about your CD that's coming out. Is there anybody else featured on your CD?
Yes, I was going to mention that, you know, Kevin Spencer, we call him Master Kevin Spencer. He, you know, from the group Dynasty. It was a very, very beautiful, famous group in his own time and day. He does the, you know, the bass lines to the music and Searching and the keyboards and to the music and some other songs there, too. I'm so happy and thrilled to be working with him as well.
Okay. All right. Mr. Spencer was on my show a while back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was on Show Talk with Angela Butler. When do you, now you're a grandmaster in karate. When do you start martial arts training? When did you first start?
Actually, you know, I am grandmaster in the Kung Fu arts, but I did start with the 1973. I started in the traditional Taekwondo system, and it was called Kumite One Taekwondo, very rare art. And the founder, Grandmaster Choi Park, who is still alive today, he's 88 years old, still alive and actively teaching in Korea and throughout Japan. And this is pure, beautiful martial art before it became watered down, which is a lot of your modern-day systems they have. The old martial art was taught as a way of life. It was a philosophy and ethics and morals and values. And we didn't go around boasting and showing off and wanting to hurt people. You know, we lived life beautifully. And in the martial arts, when you've seen people perform in the old days, the old masters, you were taken by awe because it was poetry in motion.
Oh, okay. How many times were you the world karate champion?
A lot of people don't know that because I really don't boast and brag about a lot of the things. But I did what's called the tournament was thrown out here in the 80s called the World Tournament. And that tournament was thrown by Grandmaster Kid Jason. I won that one like 5 times. And then I won the World Karate Association, which was the first tournament given back in the mid-80s. In Las Vegas, Nevada, and I won the first place in that division, and my team took the first place team championship as well.
Okay, I think you're being a little too modest. Because from what I understand, you were a 5-time world karate champion.
Mm-hmm.
And won first place 11 times, and I believe it... I don't know if it's Mr. Ed Parker's International Karate Championship.
Ed Parker International Karate Championship. That tournament was a very prestigious tournament, and I'm, oh my gosh, the competitors. And, you know, with due respect to, you know, Mr. Chuck Norris and the fighters that come through that day, you know, a lot of people say they were the golden era. I tend to disagree with my
Norris. Excuse me, let me interrupt. Said Chuck Norris. Is that the man that had a TV show?
The Walker Ranger.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he won.
All right.
He won that the international maybe a couple of times. I won it 11 times, but you don't hear about me. And there's various other brothers and sisters out there that won it 11 times or more, and you don't hear about them. You know, I'm not going to go into detail about that. You can read between the lines on that. But, you know, all in all, that's the way the games go. But, yeah, that was a very prestigious tournament. And I feel that in the 80s, we were the golden era of the martial arts fighters and forms and weapon competitors. So that's such an era. If you miss that era, the best thing to do is experience it through the ones that are teaching this day and time, such as myself and a great friend of mine, Senior Grandmaster Craig R. Smith, and a few of us are left. You're learning from us who come to that era. So you are, in a way, experiencing that era.
Okay. Well, I can only guess why you didn't get too much notoriety and credit for what you did. But you're getting it now. I mean, through
Thank
this
you.
Show, you know.
Thank you.
I understand what it was like in the 70s, 80s, because I was a teenager in the 80s, so.
Uh-huh.
Also, you didn't mention this, but I also know that you held a title in Mexico as well, the number one title.
You're catching me now. I was trying to hide.
Yes, you're being humble. You don't want anybody to know this.
You know, I just want to be an example, you know, to the wonderful people that are listening. You know, I'm a humble man, you know, and I was taught that way through the martial arts because as I teach my students, there's nothing wrong in this day and time with being humble, and because in your humility lies your power. And people will feel that about you. That's why they'll try to throw a front at on you, or they'll respect you, or they'll try to bring you down in any way they can, because they feel their power about you, and that's their own insecure way. But they can have that too if they want. It's a choice. But yeah, I won the Ensenada Championship down in Mexico. I remember when I went, and it's not singling out any race, but I'm just being honest. I remember a friend of mine named Jose Pacheco, who was a great fighter here in California himself. He invited me to go down to that championship, and I told him no. He said, "Well, Jim, you know," he said, "a lot of the brothers go down there, and they don't." Before that, once I agreed to go, then he tells me on the way down there, "Oh, I want you to know this. Now, they don't like a lot of the brothers down there, because the black people down there, because they go down there from the LA guys to go down, and they'll start fights down there when they feel they're getting cheated and cause problems." And I'm saying, "Well, thanks a lot for telling me. I probably may not make it back." But
okay.
But anyway, he was right. He said you're going to be scoring your points. They're going to test your heart. They're not going to call your points. They're just going to see how you're going to react, because they're going to make it really hard for you to even get a fourth place down there. And but anyway, cutting this story short, I wound up competing down there, and sure enough, they were not calling my points. But I'm warning, a lot of martial art people would tell you, fighters of that day that know me, I never ever, whether I won or cheated, I got cheated or whatever, I never slammed the glove to the ground. I never disrespected the judges or the refs, nor my fellow fighter. I stood my ground when I had no choice, but I kept my professionalism as a martial artist, because they're very traditional down there. But I won that championship. They finally decided to call my points, and to this day, I'll see various ones from Ensenada, and we're like brothers now. They'll come up here, and they'll run and hug me. They see me, "Oh, Jim, my brother, we love you. When you come back down to win, you're such an example. You fought me, you beat me, but boy, what a fight. We both blessed, but boy, we hug after. We're brothers." And I said, "We are brothers. It doesn't matter the race. You know, we are brothers and sisters as one." And when God created that us, he said it is good.
Okay. All right. So Craig R. Smith has been on my show, and I just want to know, how many – did you ever train under Craig R. Smith?
Well, I trained under him in the ring.
Oh, okay.
When I first met him.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Gosh, what a warrior.
He's the one that referred me to you. Not trying
to get you
against yourself. I just want to know, how many black belts, how high are you up? I know you're a grandmaster, but I want my listeners to understand your rank.
Yes, ma'am.
What black belt?
I have a black belt, a 7th degree black belt I hold in the traditional Korean martial arts. It's similar to Taekwondo style, but Taekwondo actually did not get its name until 1956 in Korea. It was just called Kwans, which meant schools. And there were 9 original Kwans, and we were the last Kwan to come into existence. So I held a 7th degree black belt there, and then the Kenpo Karate arts under the Parker Karate system, I hold the 5th degree black belt, and my instructor there was Grandmaster Larry Tatum, who is still alive and very famous to this day.
Okay.
And then the Grandmaster Jerry Bell, who is another great warrior in his own right. The Frank Duke story, to tell you the truth, is actually Jerry Bell's story, but, you know, that thing got turned around. But he... 2 years ago, awarded me an honorary rank. I say honorary rank because I don't jump ranks. I don't believe in that. But if he felt that I was honorary of that 9th degree black belt ranking with a certificate in a warrior scroll, he's given that to me. I accepted it. But all in all, I still consider myself legitimately an 8th degree black belt.
Okay. You also have been the U.S. Martial Arts Heroes Hall of Fame 14 times.
Yes, that's correct. That's
correct. And you also hold a doctorate certificate of martial arts.
Yes, they awarded me that with the Golden Sash back in the late 80s.
Okay. So you act also. You're not just a teacher. You're also a teacher of martial arts, an instructor. You have students. But you're also into acting.
I you know what I mean? It's a funny story. You know what got me into acting, or the interested into acting? When I was 9 years old, so I would remember, I used to always watch the TV show Gunsmoke. And James Von Ness, I just love that man's acting, and Fester's all those little funny guys, you know? But when I used to see all those you know, elegant people back in the day, the Cary Grants, the Rita Hayworth, the Barbara Stanwyck, oh my gosh, and the James Dean, you know, Cary Grant, we can go on and on.
Go on and on.
And that got me interested in wanting to act, because I just, at that time, I saw a beauty in it, and I thought just a calling to it. So I promised myself that when I get of age, I was going to leave Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland, the place where I was born and raised. And I was going to make my way out to California, and I was going to find me a good acting teacher, which some people tried to prevent me from doing that. One person lied to me that was training with one of the best acting coaches out here at the time, and I wound up finding them and becoming her student by accident. So they didn't like that. And to this day, I'm still with her. Her name is Victoria Wallace, and she studied under the great Lee Strasberg, who taught all your greats, you know, back in the day, the James Gardner, the names that I just mentioned, Robert De Niro. But and when I came out in 1981, I got into the acting field. I did various things out there. But
what films were you in, theater plays?
I'm sorry, ma'am?
What films or theater plays did you act in?
The film that I acted in, a lot of times they were just little extra parts. There's nothing major at the time, but, you know, I did The Karate Kid. I was in that one, the first one. I got kind of cut out of that one because I was in a little fight scene there during the tournament scenes. But I did a film called Breathing Fire, and that was with Bolo Young. He's the guy, that big guy that was in Enter the Dragon. But I did a film with him. He also was in a Bloodsport film with John Van Damme and all these things. And so that was called Breathing Fire. And then I did another one called Hard Case and Fist. And those were some of the major ones that I did.
Okay. I remember Enter the Dragon. Is that what you're talking about?
No, but you know, it's funny because, can I tell you a funny story about that?
Yes.
I was, because I go to Chinatown a lot here, which is in downtown L.A., and, you know, Jim Kelly, he's like, oh, my gosh, well, bless his heart, you know, rest in peace. He was over 6 feet, like 6'2", and me, I'm like 5'7", so I was down in Chinatown, like, this is about maybe a good 8 years or so ago, and I'm walking the streets, and, you know, all these Chinese people around me, we're all waiting on the corner for this light to change, and I got, like, two handful of bags of merchandise, and all of a sudden I hear this car blowing his horn at this light, and I say, hey man, I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on here, and all these people looking, and he goes, hey, aren't you, he couldn't get out, you know, aren't you that dude that was in that movie, with the Bruce Lee, I said, oh, you mean Jim Kelly?
You work with Bruce Lee? You work with Bruce Lee too?
No, I never worked with Bruce Lee, but that was a movie that Jim Kelly was in, you know. And this guy thought I was Jim Kelly, you know, because I had a little flow still. And he goes, so I kind of toyed with him. I said, you mean Jim Kelly? Because he couldn't get the name. He's so excited. I said, that's me. I'm Jim Kelly. I hope Kelly doesn't come back and get me here. But, and he goes, gosh, man, I knew you were Jim Kelly. And I'm walking down the street cracking up.
Okay.
And, you know, all these Chinese guys looking at me like, you're Jim Kelly. You know, I said, no, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Listen, we're going to take a break and play some of your music, okay?
Okay.
We're going to play a little bit of Can't Deny.
Oh, thank you. That's a beautiful song.
Yes, it is. All right. Yeah. All right, listen, you're going to hear Can't Deny by Miss Grandma. Master Jim Mooser. I hope I pronounced it right.
That's okay.
Can't deny I love somebody. You walked into my life and you changed the way.
Call her Jem Jem, and she's
okay.
Actually one of my black belts.
And oh, okay.
We
Lady
met
Black
back in,
all right.
Oh, yeah, she's super bad. she's
super
only like
bad.
4 feet tall, you know. She's just 4 feet tall and a little powerhouse. But what a beautiful, beautiful angelic voice she has, and we just blend so well together. I met her back in 2000. We were working with a previous producer at the time, and that didn't pan out as it should have, but you know, we kept in touch throughout the years, and then she moved away for a while, and she moved back with her husband here, and like three years back, and we've been singing ever since. And I just told her, I said, you know, she looked at me one time with tears in her eyes, you know, and I understand her hurt, and I understand her pain, because I've been, you know, in this industry, you get so many promises. And then you get let down. You get so many promises, and you get let down. And, you know, she just said, you know, I'm so tired. I just wish. And I cut her off right there. I said, Gemma, let me tell you. I said, faith is stronger than what you can believe in. I said, we've both been struggling for years. We both shed tears. We both been hurt. I said, one way or another, I'm going to make it happen this year. I'm going to find somebody. I'm going to get on. I said, you know what? When man, I just got to the point now, and I said, what man can't do, God can. And I said, I'm just going to step out on faith and believe that God going to lead me to the right person. And then right after that, I remember I called Brother Craig because I have, you know, reconnected with him a couple of years prior to this event I'm talking about, and he, the rest is history. He said, okay, I'm gonna see what I can do for you, and he introduced me to Brother Kevin, through Brother Kevin and Brother Craig Arthur. They introduced us to Brother Leon Silvers, and, you know, from what I understand, Leon Silvers doesn't take everyone. He's kind of like, okay, maybe, well, he won't even, if he's not interested, he won't even blink your way. But,
okay.
Yeah, he heard our music that night, and you know, the rough version, and he loved it. And what you're hearing now is like, oh, my gosh, that man with Brother Kevin, they just enhance those songs beautifully.
Yes. Okay. You have a book, I believe, a book that you wrote last year in 2012. Would you like to tell the listeners the name of your book and what it is, the title of your book and what it is about?
Yes, it's called Meditations and Inspirations, A Daily Philosophical Guide. And actually, that book consists of a lot of my own personal experiences in my lifetime, things I've gone through, and my ups and downs, my joys, my sadness, and my philosophical teachings that my teachers conveyed over to me throughout the years in the martial arts. That book is meant to help people, you know, spiritually, mentally, and physically. And the quotes in the book are not long. I just put them right to the point, and I didn't sit down and think about one thing to write in that book. It just came to me through I would watch people. I would see people hurting. I would see people happy. I see children playing. I see a lot of things. I see nature, and then I begin to write. So that book started as actually little meditational sayings I would put on my wall. I would print them out once every week for my students to read as a meditation, and it was called This Week's Kung Fu Meditation. And then it dawned on me, I heard a little voice inside of me say, why don't you make that to write a book. And I'm saying, okay. I can't write a book. I've never written a book before. I don't know the first thing about writing a book, how to do that. But I kept hearing that little voice tugging, write a book. And I truly believe that was God telling me, write a book. And I'm like, man, I can't write no book. And I heard the voice say, I'm God, write a book. And that was the end of that story, and there's the book.
There's the book. And it can be found on Yahoo.com, right?
Yes, on Yahoo.com.
Would you explain to me and my listeners a little bit about meditations? Explain to me, my listeners, what all that involves and what it does for the spirit and the mind, the soul and the mind.
You know, the meditation is a deep thing. It's a spiritual cleansing of the self. And, you know, problems you may be going through. Meditation can come in many ways. It could be moving meditation, let's say, like in martial arts, if you're doing a form routine to release tension, stress in the body. You also get your blood, air, and your chi circulating properly in the body that way. Meditation could be in a sitting position, just relaxing. It's not all the time forcing things when you're meditating. A lot of people try to force thoughts. You know, you don't think anything. You just clear your mind. You just be free. And then if you are going to think something, think about something beautiful. Meditate on something beautiful that happened to you this day. For instance, I ask a lot of people, you know, you ask them the phrase, what's new? And they'll say, oh, man, you know, they're so down. You say, what's up? What's new? Man, oh, no, I don't know. Come on, man, what's new? You know, something's got to be new in your life. No, man. And then I tell them, well, how many breaths did it take for you to say, I don't know. I said every breath you took one after the other as you're taking right now is a new breath. That's a meditation within itself. You know, meditations are blessings in its own way. And, you know, so you choose how you want to meditate and what you want to meditate on. But stay positive.
You have to think positive while you're meditating?
You should be in a positive frame, a positive frame of mind, positive realm. You know, And that it's a hard thing sometimes because, you know, when you're meditating, then you know, all these little negative thoughts that start popping in your head. Sometimes you feel like apprehensive about, you know, that's a little lie inside of you, the head lying to you. You know, why are you doing this? Don't you feel stupid doing this? Don't you feel, you don't feel no difference in the last 10 seconds or last minute you've been doing this. It's a waste of time. So I wouldn't even listen to that negative side. You stay on the positive realm.
Okay.
You're going to meditate, you go into a positive frame of mind.
Yeah, and I believe being around positive people helps also.
Oh, yes.
Help keep you in a positive frame of mind, because when you hear negativity all day long, you know, even if it's about a place where you live at,
right.
it kind of brings you down. The negativity does. So
it does. It helps
in a positive frame of mind, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the martial arts, you're a pro at, and you teach martial arts. What's the name of your school?
My school is the United School of Martial Arts Kung Fu Academy.
Okay. And it's in California, right?
Yes.
Okay. You also founded the United Drama Group, which is a nonprofit organization, in 1994. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Talk about the United Drama Group. Tell us what that is about and what it does.
Well, you know, what happened with that is, that's kind of a long story, but that actually started with five little kids, because throughout the holiday season, every October, I decorate my school for, we have a little Halloween gathering for the children, where the parents can bring their kids to a little Halloween potluck and little games we have and treats we have for them. They can dress up in their little costumes. And the parents know where the children are, and they're happy, and they're safe and sound, and that's important. And I want to also just help encourage them to get a good spirit for the upcoming holidays after the Halloween season, such as Christmas and Thanksgiving. But I was decorating, preschool next to my martial arts school where I used to be previously located. And I was putting up nice decorations and streamers, and then these lunch breaks, I hear these little feet coming up, because they had a habit of wanting to come to my school and just hang, because I love children. And I said, oh, no, here they come. They're going to tear down my decorations. And at that time, I had the Nutcracker music playing for some reason. And they came in and said, hi, sir. And I said, okay, how you doing? Can we come in? Yes, you may. I said, but don't tear anything down. I got streamers up. I got this up. I got that up. Please don't tear anything down. We won't. We promise. Oh, my gosh. So they started dancing around. I'm on a ladder decorating, and all of a sudden I see them dancing around to the Nutcracker music. And one started pulling down on the streamers. I said, oh, no. Oh, no, here it goes. And I said, no, don't touch the streamers. It took a long time to get those up. I had thousands of them put up and hanging down from the ceilings, and they were beautifully decorated. But they started tearing them down, and at first I started like, oh, no, this got to stop. But then I heard this little voice inside of me say, no, sit on the ladder and look at the children. So I sat down on the ladder, and I looked at those children, and when they were dancing with those streamers and making up their own little dances, because children are true actors in their own way, but they're real. And they were dancing and creating these beautiful designs and not knowing what they were doing, and I saw such beauty and happiness coming out of them. And then I asked them, I said, you know what? Would you guys like to do a Nutcracker play? Yes! I said, okay, now we're going to call it a children's Nutcracker. I said, we're not professional dancers, but I don't know how we're going to do this, but we'll make it happen. But to make a long story short, we did that little play. It started off in our martial arts school. I had friends help me to decorate my school to where you would swear that it was a movie theater, a playhouse.
But, the children love that.
And you always get people that's going to doubt you. Karate kids, they can't do this. And they're not ballet dancers and this and that. I said, no, they're not. I said, but martial art is everything. So I said, I'm going to teach these children. We're going to make stories out of the dances. We're going to make stories out of each scene. And I told these parents, I said, there's coming a day that these children – and these people that are believing in me, we're going to wind up on a professional stage. I'm going to take on a professional stage, and they're going to do some shows.
Okay.
Oh, no, they can't do this. They're not even actors. They're not actors. But you know what? We wound up doing three shows at three major theaters here in the city. And that shut a lot of people's mouths. And to this day, our drama group is still talked about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, those children sound like they were very happy. And
are you happy?
It seems like
I love
you got
them.
Joy out of that too.
You know, I love people, and you know, I got the parents involved. I got everyone involved because you know what, we need happiness, and we need to learn and know that martial art is not just about kicking and punching, and you know, martial art is learning how to play an instrument correctly, getting good grades in school, having bad manners, that's bad martial art. Good manners, good martial art. Honoring your teachers, your elders, you know, loving God, that's all positive and good martial art. And so I wanted them to know, and some of my kids now are playing in professional orchestras.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and some are now in professional theater. And they still come and talk to me
oh.
in there, and they say, sir, you know what, if it wasn't for you,
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for you, what?
If it wasn't for me, you know, doing those shows, encouraging them to believe in themselves and to tap inside
okay.
themselves and really find out who they really are, what their callings are, what their gifts and talents they have within.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to break and play another one of your songs.
Oh, okay. Beautiful.
Caught Up.
Okay.
By Grandmaster Jim Musa. Did I pronounce your name right?
It's Muse, but it's okay. It's all right.
It's all right. I hope I did
it. It's all right.
I'm going to go to the song Caught Up, play a portion of it.
Can't deny I love somebody. You walked into my life and you changed the way.
Gemma Bosch. Gemma Bosch.
Okay. So you and her group formed together back in 2011, am I correct?
Yes, that's correct. Jim and Gemma duet.
Now, your martial arts training, why and when did you stop competing? I mean, you had 11 World Karate Associate Championships. You had, you worked with the Ed Parker's International Karate Championship. You won that. You were number one champion in California, number two in Las Vegas, international champion, 5 times world karate champion. I mean, why did you stop?
Well, that was in the South, kind of would explain it. I got burned out after a while. I got tired and I wanted to just move on and open a school. And then also because of a lot of the unfairness that was going on at the time, too, the cheating and some of the one-sidedness and a lot of the way a lot of the black belts were beginning to represent themselves non-professionally, and I just got tired of all of it, and I got away from it.
I'm going to ask you a question. If you don't feel comfortable at answering, then just don't. Do you feel that some of that was because of your race? Was it just the way things are?
You know,
human nature of people.
Well, it's both. It's not to insult any race at all, but being considered a minority, but I really don't believe in that word. That was one of the biggest reasons. I remember one tournament I fought a few times, and to get on the stage and to fight for the grand championship was an honor. And I fought my way up years, and I always dreamed about making it on that stage. And that was actually at the International Karate Championship. And that was the last time I fought there. And I remember that there was two fighters that were just beating everybody up that day. And for a few years, matter of fact, they had gotten so good, they started taking out some of the top fighters that used to beat them. And I remember that when my name was called, one of the guys that didn't want to fight me because he knew I was going to win. He didn't want me to win that championship. He didn't want me to take the overall grand championship. So what he did, he switched names and put his buddy, who's from the same school, said, "Well, you fight Jim first." And I saw him switching the names on a sheet, because this guy was even better than him. And he was beating all the top fighters, so I was using monkey style kung fu at the time, which is a very rare fighting style. And I remember the judges wouldn't do anything about this guy changing the name at the last minute, which was totally illegal. So anyway, when I was fighting this guy, it shocked him because I was beating him with ground techniques and hitting him with kicks off the ground, sweeping kicks off the ground, and then the judges would not call my points for anything. And you could hear the whole stand booing it. And I heard it. Normally I don't. But that went on and on and on. And finally, I just stood up. I wasn't disrespectful. I walked over to the center judge. I shook the fighter's hand, and I said, "You know what? You can have this." And I walked over to the judges, and I said, "You know what, sir? I'm sorry, but I have to bow out professionally because you guys are being very unprofessional. You know, you're cheating for this guy, and I don't feel it's right. And you know in your heart why you're doing this. I don't have to go into an explanation." And I shocked him because I'd never done that. I never talked to any judges that way. But I was professional, and I remember granted after Ed Parker had died a couple of years before that, and the international was not supposed to be about this. So I went to Ms. Parker, and I talked to her. I said, "Ms. Parker," I said, I am so sorry. I humbly bowed to her. And I said, "I'm so sorry that I'm going to walk off the stage right now in a professional manner, but I just got to the point that I will no longer watch the thief break in my house and steal my goods, what belongs to me, what I know I earned and worked hard for, and let him get away with it. So therefore, I'm going to bow out." And when I got up to the audience, everybody started clapping. And I had this one Japanese guy come up to me and say, oh, you, my gosh, they cheat you so bad. You, I never see no fighter like you. Every time he moves, you kick, you punch, you get point. But you professional man because you walk off professional. He said, "You are a true winner." And that right there, that made it for me.
That made it for you?
That made it for me.
Well, that wasn't fair.
It hurt. It did hurt. You know. But, pain, can make you strong. If you learn how to just work with it in a positive way. Like Bruce Lee used to say, flow with the problem. Don't work against it. And the problem itself will work its way out.
Okay. All right. So that is why you stopped competing.
That was the reason why. But I did go back a couple times, a couple years after that, like in the early 90s, a couple of events in the I took a couple first place, but they were doing the same thing, but only worse. And I just said, I'm out of here.
Okay. They were cheating you out
right.
of what was rightfully yours.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you and Mr. Leon Silvers III, would you like to tell my listeners a little something about Mr. Leon Silvers III?
You know, he, if anyone know of the group, the Silvers, there was like 10 family members. Everybody would think that, like, when the Jackson 5 was out in the early 70s, you would swear that the Silvers were like the new Jackson 5. They sounded
okay.
like them, and they moved a lot like them in a way better. They're once the Jackson 5. They were not the Jackson 5, but they were so beautiful, and their music is just awesome, and Mr. Leon Silvers is such a legend. He wrote a lot of the major hits for his family, and songs like Boogie Fever, you know, and things like that. Boogie Fever, gonna boogie down. Okay, that one's free for everyone.
Okay.
And, you know, I just love this man, and I'm praying that when he mixes this and get it out there, that we will bring him back out as well. That's our desire. Let's bring. Don't you guys agree out there in the radio land? Let's bring back. I call him Grandmaster Leon Silvers. You know, he is such a talent.
Oh, he's a grandmaster.
We need him back out.
Okay. But he's a grandmaster too, like you.
I call him a grandmaster because he's such a. He knows his craft. It's you sit there, and he'll be playing a song, and when it comes to like doing a bridge or an ad lib, you're watching. You know, Gemma and I would sit there and watch him, and we're amazed because he have a habit of he'll rock in his chair a little bit as he's listening to the music, and he start playing with his hair, he'll curl his hair a little bit, and like he's thinking, and we're looking at each other like, oh, here comes the bomb. In a matter of three minutes, he'll have it. He'll say, okay, he won't say, how about you doing it? He will look right at you, like the finger will point like at you, like Uncle Sam, like, you, okay, you're going to do this. And he looks at Gemma, you're going to do this. And he put it on the spot right away. And he's amazed at us. He said, you know what? You guys, I work with many professional singers, but you guys are very few that I can show you do this and do this. And you pick it up right away, and we lay down that track right away.
Oh, okay.
And that's because of his teachings, too.
His teachings?
Bless his heart. I just love him.
Okay. All right. Well, I understand that. I understand what you're saying. So how did you meet Craig R. Smith?
I'm laughing because it was I met him through one of the greatest reverse punches that he gave my body.
Oh my goodness.
I did not know who he was at the time that we was competing. I remember we were fighting for first and second place at the Long Beach Internationals in 1991, the original Long Beach Internationals, because they have a new one out now, and it compares nothing to the old days. And I remember, oh my gosh, he was one of the toughest fighters. And Craig R. Smith's like 10 feet tall. I'm just like 4 feet 2. You know?
Oh, okay.
He's tall. He's pretty tall. And, But I'm not going to go into detail of who won what, but
because
everybody asks, well, who won? And I tell them, you know what? We both won.
Okay. I was going to ask you.
Or how that's going to be. I said, because through that tournament, we became some of the best of friends. So we won a friendship that's everlasting.
I believe that. Okay. So you began training at the age of 19 in 1973. Did it take you a long time to train? I'm just curious because I'm somewhat interested in martial arts, but it's more like the Taekwondo.
Right.
And I like to know for myself, what is the difference in Taekwondo and karate or kung fu?
Well, some people will disagree with this, but if they research the history, they'll see it's fact. Kung Fu is the granddaddy of all the martial arts. And just like Tai Chi is the granddaddy of Kung Fu, which is called the ultimate grand fist. But Kung Fu, you know, Karate came from Kung Fu. Taekwondo got its kicking technique from the northern Kung Fu styles. Karate got its hand and low stance and kicking techniques from the southern style of Kung Fu. So Kung Fu is also based more on a flowing and relaxed movements and a lot of the chi training, chi kung training within the moves. And karate and taekwondo, which are beautiful martial arts, traditional ones in its own day and time, they're very beautiful martial arts within itself. They use a little bit more abrupt power, but yet they're still very effective fighting arts if they're taught the right way. If they're too watered down, then you take away the reality of those systems.
Oh, okay. I know I have a baby brother that's training in Taekwondo. He's been in for about 4 or 5 years now. He's 17. So I was wondering, I've seen him take his hand and chop a block into. A piece of wood, a big piece of wood into with just one hand. I was just wondering what the difference was. Because I sometimes go to his practices and some of his tournaments.
Yes.
So I was curious. Because I've never tried either.
Yeah, the Taekwondo styles and the Karate styles, they do believe in a lot of wood breaking, brick breaking, tile breaking with the feet and the hands, elbows, fists. Some with the head, which I feel ridiculous. I don't have much sense in my head as it is, so I wanted to save the last little bit of brains that I have in my head. So I never broke anything with my head.
Oh, okay. Well, he can.
Yeah.
And they're working on bricks now.
Right.
It's amazing what he can do at 17 years old. And I agree with his teacher when he said don't use it, just to use Taekwondo to hurt people. You use it only in self-defense. If somebody is attacking you or hurting you, don't just use Taekwondo to hurt people.
Right.
And he doesn't.
That's a good teacher, because most teachers, a very, very good teacher will do that. It's just like Bruce Lee had a beautiful saying, you know, what a great man of the we ever had in our history of the martial arts. Bruce Lee would always say that a good teacher protects the students from their own influence. So that's a great teacher. You tell your student, you know, martial art or taekwondo or karate, it's a way of life. It's a self-discipline. It's not used for fun and games or to just hurt someone because they call your name. Or sometimes someone may push you. Doesn't mean you have to hit them back right away. You have self-control. But in your mind, you would say that's the only push you're going to get. Because they come back, then you look at the opponent's body. If you're well-trained in martial arts, you look at the opponent's body and you will know what type of technique to use. You don't have to use a killing blow on everyone. You may have to break a leg or sprain a wrist, depending on the situation. But I always tell my students, too, if you're ever in a, we don't want to, but if you're ever in a self-defense situation, look at yourself as the teacher. You teach that person, and in your mind, they're a student that don't know. You teach them, and maybe you humble them, but you be the teacher, they be the student. Even if you had to spank them a little hard, you look at them as, I'm teaching you a lesson.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, we're going to play your next song, Caught Up.
Okay.
Grandmaster Jim Musa. And we're going to play it. And I know if I pronounce your name wrong, I'm going to hear about it, but I'm doing my best. I am doing my best. I have that southern accent, so my tongue is kind of thick. All right.
You know what they say? Thank you.
prisoners that was caught up by Grandmaster Jim, and the lady that I believe is singing with him on all three. Isn't she on all three of the songs?
Yes.
The lady that's singing.
Yes, she is. And can I say something really quick about Carter?
Yes, she can.
For the audience, that other voice you heard on there, I'm used to doing what I wanna, that whole thing right there, it's Grandmaster Leon Silver III, so let's just say hooray for him. It's great to hear his voice again, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right.
He didn't want to leave that on there, but I said, you know what, sir, it sounds so beautiful, you know what? Please don't take it off. Gentleman, I said, please, leave your voice on there. He said, well, you know, he's like, well, all right. He's just a practical man, you know. But I love him because
okay.
he's not modest. He could just, okay, that's great, man. That's, no, he's just like, okay, you want me on there? Okay. He's grateful in his own way, you know.
Okay. Well, that's just about all the questions and about all the time we have. We have about 2 minutes left. Is there anything else you would like to say that you haven't talked about?
Well, you know, I would just like to say that I just love everyone out there in the radio land, and I just hope that everyone's staying in a positive frame of mind. We know this is a hard day and time, but, you know, there's not a day we're not awakened for no reason. So let's be powerful, dig down in ourselves, and turn our negatives into positives. And it's a mindset. So you know, I love you all, and I love you, Miss Angela Butler. And let's hope that also my music can. Our music is to try to bring a change into the music industry, because we feel this type of music is needed out there in this day and time, because a lot of the music is just so negative and violent and sexual, and it's giving people the wrong directions in life and frame of mind and the wrong way of thinking and acting. So we hope that you support our music when you hear it, and feel free to write to us anytime or write to Miss Angela Butler, and we welcome your responses and comments. We're not going
to
make everybody happy.
How would they write you, and when is your CD being released?
They can. I have no release date on that yet. We're still working with Mr. Leon Silver.
Not write to you, but maybe if they want to email you, don't give them. Don't give out your address.
Right. I can get my email, right?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. It's musefurtado@yahoo.com. MuseFur TADO, like Nelly Furtado, musefurtado@yahoo.com.
Okay. All right. And when did you say your CD is already out?
It's not fully completed yet. Ms. Leon Silver is still working on the final mixings for us. But we hope it'll be out soon.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Grandmaster Jim.
That's
going to end it for the show. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
And again, listen to the show will air again at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. So you'll be able to, those of you who didn't catch it at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time, will be able to hear it again. All right. Again, that's 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, which is the usual time of the show. All right, everyone, you have a good day, and it was nice talking to you, Mr. Grandmaster Jim.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too.